social work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
And I'm Jerry. Welcome to our podcast in series two of Helpful Social Work. A few weeks ago, we posted a podcast on culture in interprofessional work, and this podcast is the second one for July, and it's our reflective conversation. We hope you enjoy the podcasts. Let us know what you think by visiting our website, www.helpfulsocialwork.com, or by commenting on iTunes, and we do look forward to hearing from you. And we should just let you know at this point that there's not going to be podcasts in August. We're aiming to do 10 sets of two podcasts over the year, but in August and December we won't be posting because of holidays and people having other things going on in those months.
Well, today, Jerry, I believe we're going to be talking about regulation.
Yeah, this is my fault again. It was my fault that we talked about specialisms last time, but it was really, really interesting talking to you about that. And we do need to talk about regulation. Jo and I are based in England. We're registered in England as social workers. And we've just had an act. It was a bill. In April, Children and Social Work Bill received royal assent. It's now an Act of Parliament. And it's going to affect social workers directly in England. Really, it's probably going to affect social workers across the UK, I think, because how one country in the UK regulates is does affect the others. And actually, the Social Work England regulator that's going to be set up is quite similar to some of the regulators in the other countries in the UK. And we're aware that only about half the people who are listening to us are social workers in England. There's people in North America and other countries in the UK and other countries around the world listening. But we thought it would still be interesting to talk about England and the regulation here, because there's wider issues around regulation, aren't there?
Well, it's a big thing. It's, you know, the fact that there is a bill, an act about social workers and how they're regulated and how they're assessed and how they're supported and what their profession should look like and do. That's pretty significant, I think, Jerry. That's a long way from what it was like when I was a girl, so to speak. So when I started off working with children and families in the late 80s, it felt to me quite Wild West, I guess is one way to think about it. There wasn't a clear framework. There was legislation, of course there was, but there wasn't as much clarity around how you actually did the job, if that makes sense.
Yes, and similarly, when I qualified in England in 2002, it was just before registration of social workers and the protected title came in, and just before the degree was launched, and various other things that I think have, to some extent, strengthened the profession. The interesting thing about regulation in England is that we had a bespoke regulator, the General Social Care Council, and then when various different arm's length bodies were brought together and to save money, I think the social work regulator disappeared and came into Health and Care Professions Council, which had previously just been Health Professions Council. And now we're going to get a bespoke social work regulator again. And the interesting thing for me is the purpose behind that. To whose benefit is it to have a bespoke social work regulator?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I can see the benefits in having allied professions sitting together under the one regulator, especially when you think about those structural boundaries and barriers. And if that kind of overarching regulatory body had led to a shared understanding and a shared way of approaching vulnerable people and being helpful to people who were needing services, then I could see how that would have been quite beneficial. But I don't know that it actually happened. I don't know that there was more sharing of our skills and learning and knowledge. And the thing is, if you have one regulator who's specifically for you, the social work profession, and we're trying to build an identity and build a place for ourselves and say what we do is special, even though it's general, then it's actually very helpful, isn't it, to have a peak body for us.
One of the things one of the bits of information I dug out for this podcast was that BASWER, British Association of Social Work, the members generally expressed support for having a bespoke regulator. What also happened in the whole build-up to the Act was that there was a big debate about the independence of the regulator. Because initially it was proposed that the regulator would be an executive arm of government, so the Secretary of State would have had direct control over regulation. And that changed through campaigning and lobbying to it being a non-departmental public body. But there's still quite a lot of input from the Department for Education, Department of Health, around how that regulator will work and the board and things like that. Which brings me back to this question of who's the regulator for? And I have quite a hardline view on this, really. I think regulation is to protect the public. So the regulator is answerable to the general public. And that should happen, obviously, through government as the elected representatives of the public. But the regulator needs to be free of overly ideological or political interference. They're representing the whole public, not just the public who happen to vote for that government. So I think it's important that the regulator has a degree of independence but is answerable to the elected representatives. And so that does create quite an interesting relationship for that regulator. And the other thing that I do feel very strongly is that the regulator is not the definer of the profession. So what the regulator says social work is and what the regulator defines social work as on behalf of the public and the government isn't ultimately what social work is or who we are, because social work is an international profession and it has, because as a profession we create our own identity and our own purpose and ethics. If the regulator says, this is now the definition of social work, and it's not the definition of social work in terms of that, that being a global profession, then I don't think that would define me as a social worker.
Just as I think this is a really important thing for us to be thinking about, and perhaps we're thinking our way through it, which makes it feel a bit waffly. But for me, what you were saying sparked off a lot of things, and I kept coming back to, okay, why is it that the government feels that they are able to define social work? And is it social work that they're defining, or is it small, discrete areas of social work, which are where the social workers are employed by local authorities? Because actually a lot of the emphasis around the new regulations for children's social work is around statutory local authority, or these new enterprises that are coming up. It's around that work. And it's very specific. And one of the things that's been raised by social workers who work for many different places, there are social workers in schools, there's social workers in hospitals, there's social workers in private enterprise, there's social workers everywhere. And some of them were saying, well, is this going to create a two-tier profession where if you're a child protection social worker, you have this kind of status, this kind of credibility, this kind of support, these kind of expectations. And if you work for Barnardo's or for a charity or you're doing something else, you're kind of like a lesser social worker, or, that was the question being raised by this person. Mm. I would think, or maybe a luckier social worker.
Yeah, and I think that question of how we're perceived is something we need to take ownership of, actually. I think if social workers agree what social work is, and we agree that anyone who works with this identity, with this purpose, in these ways, following these ethics, is a social worker, and we're part of one profession and we're all doing equally important work, then that's how we should perceive ourselves. And fair enough, other people might not necessarily perceive us that way. Inevitably, different stakeholders will have different value on different areas of social work or different things that happen. Government might put a protected title around some bits of social work and not other bits. Ultimately, that could happen. We didn't have a protected title at all. Then we had it for all of these, anyone who was doing social work. That could change in the future. But I don't think that should be the defining element of what social work is. take any area of work, you get a group of people together who decide they want to work in that area, and they all get quite good at it. And people who come along and use their services need to have an idea of whether to trust them or not. And so you generally develop a like a guild or a community or a profession as it gets more evolved, where people say, okay, you can trust us to do these kind of things, and we'll self-regulate. Actually, if somebody is not behaving in this way, if they're not following the ethics, or they're, you know, not qualified, we want to kick them out ourselves. You know, we don't want them to be part of this group, because we want you, the people who use our services, to trust us. And that works pretty well for a lot of different areas of work. But where you have an area of work where you have a real imbalance of power with the people who are using the services, then it is appropriate for public protection to put in a set of minimum standards for that group. So if you want to call yourself part of that group, actually you've got to demonstrate that you won't do these things, and you will do these things. Yep. Because the people who are coming to use your services can't just take their business elsewhere or say, well, you're not good enough. And the risk of you getting it wrong is too high. So, you know, professions like medicine and social work, it's good to have regulation. But I think it's only doing that threshold public protection stuff, and the being really good at what we do needs to come from us, and being really clear about who we are and that we're all part of this international profession comes from us as well. And that's where I think the professional body and the regulator work together. You know, the regulator's making sure that we meet threshold standards, and the professional body is making sure that we're living up to the promise of the profession.
Yes, so that leads on to this idea that you would then have, that it's our profession that should actually be really clear about what our continuous professional development looks like. That's one of the key things, isn't it? We get qualified to a certain level, and now we have an obligation to continue our profession. And surely part of what makes us social workers will be the knowledge we generate, and actually continuing to add to the body of knowledge which we can define as social work knowledge. Because I think one of the problems we have is that we're often perceived to be borrowing from other professional bodies, and not to have enough knowledge that is discreetly social work knowledge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think there's two really big arguments for the profession leading on professional development. There's a pragmatic argument, there's an ethical argument. I think the ethical argument is that because we care about this area of work, we ought to want to develop. And so part of our professional responsibility, our ethical responsibility to the people we work with, is to develop ourselves and not just to wait for someone else to tell us what we should be doing. But I also think there's a really strong pragmatic argument, because we've talked about checking up on people about things. When you check up on people, you use a lot of energy checking up. You only check up at a particular moment in time, and you also actually incentivize people to just be doing that thing.
Yeah, so if you narrow them.
Yeah. Whereas if you are promoting continuing professional development, you're talking about trying to be good all the time and trying to develop all of the time, and that's not really something a regulator can do. It's not set up to do that. It's the same as if you look at Ofsted or Care Quality Commission coming in to look at social care provision in England. They come in and they look at particular things, and they make sure that you meet stuff, and they do try to look at people going above and beyond, but they do draw people into those particular areas. Making sure they've got those particular areas right. And you also want people to be aspiring across the board and trying to get things right. So I think that's where the difference between the must-dos, you know, the threshold, the public protection stuff, and the actually what we really want, which is something much better.
It's almost that just tell me what to do and we'll do it can be what you can reap from sowing the field just purely based on regulation. You know, you can just get everybody living up to that bar and not actually thinking, well, what else could we do? What else could we be? How else could we respond? If we think that social work is about being helpful to people who are actually trying to navigate and negotiate the resources and the difficulties and the terrain of their society and where they're being helpful to how they do that. That's there are many different ways.
Yeah, and I think there's a real benefit to both the regulator and the government from having a strong profession and strong professional body, which I would really hope will mean that there'd be a good relationship in the future between these different stakeholders. Because, of course, the regulator and the government, they want social work to be good. You know, they're interested in how good it is. It's very expensive to regulate and to check. It's better for people just to be getting on and doing things. And also there is a real benefit from the development and the improvement coming from the people doing the work and closest to service users.
Absolutely.
You would hope that that would mean that things would improve faster. And your government trying to do innovation is always quite an interesting dance, actually, because the government's usually quite a long way away from the thing that they need to innovate or want to innovate. Yes. And so they're trying to incentivize people to do things that ideally they would be doing anyway. Yeah, we would be innovating anyway. So it's better to kind of create the conditions. Part of that is about actually not over-checking people so that they've got a bit of freedom to get on.
And that's so tricky, Jerry, because, you know, what I get, you know, being very close to lots of social workers across the piece is a sense from them still in children's services that there is a preoccupation with the checking. It's like visiting children. We forget exactly what we're trying to achieve from that, and we think that the visit is the achievement.
Yeah.
Not helping the child, upskilling them and helping them manage in the situation they're in.
Well, the thing I would most want to see from the new regulator in England, and actually regulation in any country, is a good, healthy, constructive relationship between a regulator that's checking up to make sure that essential things happen, a government that's hopefully creating the conditions for that good work to happen, and then a professional body that is being really clear about what we offer and what good looks like in partnership with service users and carers, so that those three kind of stakeholders work really well together. Because I would put social workers and people who use social work together as a stakeholder. I think we do need to be much more together. But I don't think this works perfectly anywhere, to be honest. And I think one of the things that I want to watch and influence and be really aware of is how Social Work England sort of supports continuing professional development and going above and beyond, you know, how it encourages people to do more than the threshold standards, but without stifling the role of the profession in generating that ourselves. And that's going to be quite an interesting negotiation and development as it goes along, I think.
And that requires a degree of trust, Jerry. Doesn't it? And it requires trust between us and the people we are trying to be helpful to, who are actually wanting us to be helpful. It requires a degree of trust between the profession and the government. It requires a healthy relationship, and it requires a good relationship between the government and the regulator and the regulator and the services. Yeah, so we're really talking about lots and lots of curious, open dialogue with each other.
Yeah, and the other thing I really do want to see is use of learning from how Health and Care Professions Council regulated things, because there is such a tendency in public service areas to throw everything out and start over. And we've got years of experience now. HCPC have got lots and lots of expertise, and I would hate us just to start over. Apart from anything else, it's very expensive, isn't it, to not draw on what's already happened that's worked well.
And it puts the profession back too, doesn't it? Because every time we start again, we just lose our learning and we lose our sense of self. And so we always feel like we're in our infancy, I think. You know, it's like we're never really sure, or worse still, we're reluctant to invest in anything because we think, oh, we won't invest in this because it'll go soon. And so we just stay in the same place. And I think that would be a real shame for social work. We need to keep developing and changing. You know, as more and more roles in this world, as more and more work roles become automated, actually, this is going right off on a tangent, but it is important. Now, bear with me here. Follow my line. As more and more things become automated, what we have to understand is what can't be automated. And for me, one of the things that can't be automated is humans relating to humans in a helpful way about how they can have the best type of life for them possible, and how we can be helpful with them in that type of life. And that's the key and critical thing. Social work is all about relationship and helping humans adjust to each other. And I always say to my mob, you know, like when I'm trying to work with them and get them to think, I say, you've got to increase joy and decrease stress in interactions. If you can do that, if you can increase joy and decrease stress, you'll find that people will be able to work with each other a lot easier, and they'll look forward to being with each other and interacting with each other. And these kind of things, I don't think they can be automated. And so, therefore, we need to be so clear in our mind, don't we, about what helpful looks like, and then be building up the skills and the abilities and different ways that we can actually use that. And as you say, that's about the people who use our services and what we offer being really tightly attuned.
Mm. Yeah, so I guess we haven't got an answer exactly for how regulation ought to work, but where we'd like, I think from what we've been saying, where we kind of like all social workers to start from is us trying to be really clear about why what we do matters and why we need to have a real say and real ownership in what it looks like, along with people who use social work. So we don't get narrowly defined, and we do keep improving and keep learning. And you know, ideally the conditions will improve for people to do that, because the context is difficult, and it may be that a new regulator will be helpful, who knows, in helping with some of that context stuff. But regardless of that, we need to keep pushing, don't we, for the opportunity to do the really good things that social work can do.
I think that's right. What I would say in summary is it's right that we're regulated. There's a tremendous amount of power in the work that we do, and it is public interest, and so therefore regulation is fine, but it is about regulation being in partnership, and it is about innovation and knowledge and standards being driven from the service user up through the social work body through to the regulator to be overseen, scrutinized and challenged, and then fed back down again. I think that's really what I'd like to see. I see the regulator as having an oversight role, not having a development role. I see the professional body as being the developers, in partnership with the people that they serve.
That's a really, really good summary. We could have saved ourselves a lot of time if we just said that at the start. But that's where the discussion kind of helps you get you there, doesn't it?
Because we don't have we're just like the people who are listening, hopefully, guys, you're still listening, which is we got to think our way through things too.
Yeah.
And it's stopping and taking the time, isn't it? And just talking it out with each other and going, okay, well, this is my view on this. It's open to testing now. Guys, tell us what you think.
Yeah, and at some point we will, we talked about this earlier, we will do a podcast around different models of social work in different places, but also different ways that social work works with other bodies. I think that would be really useful. And just a reminder, we won't have a podcast in August because we're going to be on holiday. So we'll hear us again on the Friday of September.
So everyone have a fantastic summer wherever you are in the world.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Cheers. Bye-bye.